Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Now, I had stated earlier in some opening remarks about how I wish you could know what it was like to preach and to just be fully engulfed by the Spirit of the Lord in preaching and to experience what that is like. One thing that I'm grateful that you don't have to experience is what it's like to have to prepare sermons on holidays. I don't like that. There's an expectation that there would be some correlation between a sermon and the holiday, and that's all well and good. But my heart's desire is to speak what the Lord wants me to speak, not what a calendar does, and not what it would be that would be perhaps most expedient or perhaps even easy, if we're just being downright honest. But as I was praying this week and trying to search out scriptures, I thought, Lord, well, I'll at least give you a chance to see if there's something directed towards mothers that you would have me to preach. And so I started out studying in the book of Proverbs, in the 31st chapter. For those unfamiliar with the book of Proverbs, chapter 31 is the very last chapter, and it's one of only two chapters in the book of Proverbs that is not written by Solomon. The 31st chapter instead is written by Lemuel, King Lemuel. And the primary subject of that 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs, beginning at verse 10 through the end of the chapter, is the subject of a virtuous woman. So I was thinking that I would begin there and allow the Lord to see if there was a directed thought concerning mothers. And I thought, well, I'll get into the virtuous woman and see where studies go from there and what the Lord would desire. Little to my expectation, I made it all of 10 words into the first verse of Proverbs chapter 31 before the Lord had said, here's the message. I'm grateful for that. Amen. And there was something that I have read over in that passage of Scripture, must be dozens of times, that I had missed up until this time that I set it aside to study it. Proverbs chapter 31 verse 1 says, "The word of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." That his mother taught him. Now, we see at different places in Scripture, and we've been studying recently in the letters to Timothy about how it was that Paul acknowledged the good doctrine that Timothy had been taught by his mother and by his grandmother, and we see the influence of mothers throughout Scripture. But I never taken a moment to stop and to realize that what King Lemuel was expressing as he penned this 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs was given according to the teachings of his mother. That his mother had set him down as a young boy and instructed him in the wisdom and the things that he would begin to express concerning women. Now, if you're like me and you're a guy, we know that we will never understand women. And so it brings a whole new understanding to what King Lemuel was expressing. He was teaching what his mama taught. And that helped me in understanding the overall expectation of the 31st chapter of the Proverbs. But I had a conflict about it. And the conflict that I had about it was that it says a prophecy that was taught by his mother. Now, we certainly understand that the 31st chapter of the Proverbs is not a prophecy. In fact, the book of Proverbs as a whole is a book of wisdom. It's wisdom writing. And what we should understand about the book of Proverbs is that it's proverbs and not promises. I want to say that again because we're going to look at several Proverbs today, and I want you to have this understanding that Proverbs are not promises. Proverbs are truisms. What that means is that these men who have had wisdom instructed to them by their parents, as we see here in this 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs, these men that have been filled of wisdom by God, as we see Solomon asking and the Lord providing, this wisdom is what they have acknowledged and seen throughout their lives. And what they have done here in the book of Proverbs is pin those, these general truths according to life, about what they have observed in their wisdom. And Lemuel says, "I have received these things as taught by my mother." So I started looking at this word prophecy and doing a little digging into what that meant. What was this exactly that Lemuel had been taught? It's astounding. What Lemuel had been taught in this prophecy wasn't merely some utterance, and it wasn't merely some teaching. But when you get to the root of the understanding of what Lemuel was expressing, he was expressing his mother's burden. And if the Lord would help us today, what we would like to speak on is a bearing a mother's load. Bearing a mother's load. Moms bear a lot of burden. Burdens that men, frankly, we wouldn't understand. Now, moms, I don't want you to get big-headed about that. The reason why I don't want you to get big-headed about that is that you're doing what the Lord's told you to do. When God created man and woman, when He created man out of the dust of the ground, and He created woman out of a rib of Adam, and He made Himself a woman, and Adam looked upon her and said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh," and saw it to be a helpmeet for him, and God established a family. Adam and Eve transgressed the laws of God. They disobeyed the commandment that He had given them, and immediately they died. They didn't die, they passed away, but the holy state in which they had been created passed away, and they were sentenced into death that would come later as a result of their sin. But at that moment, God handed down not just a penalty of death upon them, but He handed down a penalty according to what they would face in their lives. Men, we have received the penalty of labor. We labor and we toil and we are instructed and called to do that by what God has ordained in manhood. Woman, you have been called to childbearing. Now, childbearing does not mean that it is that you've been called to have children. You have been called to raise your children to adulthood. Child rearing does not end. In fact, I would go so far to say that if you are here today and you are a woman who is without child, that you still have the responsibility of child rearing over those of which you have an influence. And I believe Titus chapter 2 supports that. So what we see in Scripture then is an understanding of the roles of man and woman. So woman, as we consider today the load of motherhood, I want us to understand that it is a godly load which you carry. And it is a good thing. And what Scripture teaches us about motherhood is one of which you should not be ashamed, and is one of which you should not look to what the world's expectations are, but instead you should look unto Scripture and say, "I align myself in my motherhood according to it, and I answer only according to it." And perhaps the rest of society will have all this to say about how it is that I would mother my child. You answer solely unto the Lord. Your motherhood is godly. It is not to be worldly. And as such, you answer unto the Father, not unto the world. Now, when I was growing up, my mom used to have good housekeepings and all these different things around. And, you know, I'd pick it up and about 5 seconds later put it back down. Nowadays, even then, we saw that women were being displayed, the expectations of motherhood according to society. But it's even more prevalent now. Y'all know from time to time I'm forced onto my wife's Facebook, do different things and announcements or whatever. And I see it on there. Here's how motherhood is supposed to look, society has said. And I think that if you were to look to how society says motherhood should look, it doesn't look a thing like Scripture says it should look. I didn't mean to get off here, but I'm going to get off here for a moment. You're not raising children. You're raising adults. The end aim of raising children is not to produce grown children. The end aim of raising children is that they would be adults. That they'd be grown-ups. I think as I look around and I see so much of my generation, of my age, that resembles things that don't look like manhood and don't look like womanhood. I'm made to realize that what's taken place is that what has happened is that there's just been a generation of children that have been raised. And the attitudes and the mindsets and the understanding remain as children. We're raising adults. Keep that in mind as you raise your child. Keep that in mind as you have an influence over those that are younger than you. That the effort is not that you would suddenly be removing them from their adolescence, but instead that throughout their adolescence and throughout that training and nurturing that we're doing as parents and as an older generation, the end aim is adulthood. The end aim is that they would be grown men and grown women that live and walk with the Lord, that do those things that are nurturing unto His cause and profitable unto His kingdom. Our efforts are towards being raised, a generation that is raised, not a generation that merely is something that we say, well, we've done all that we can do. They've reached the age of 18. We're breaking the plate. My dad used to tell me that all the time. Breaking the plate. Never did break a plate, but I got the hint. But what we see is a need that we who are here today in these roles, manhood and womanhood and fatherhood and motherhood, the end responsibility that we have is that we'd be demonstrating what God has ordained and what He has called. And what He has called us here to understand is a mother's load. Now, as I begin to look throughout the book of Proverbs, having been, I don't want to say surprised, because it was a surprise, but having for the first time noticed this instruction that Lemuel had received from his mother, I begin to think, well, what else in the book of Proverbs have I missed concerning motherhood? What else have I just so always overlooked that I never stopped to for a minute to understand it? Now, if you study the book of Proverbs, you'll understand that there is a narrative that is behind all of the wisdom that Solomon is sharing throughout the first 29 chapters. And the narrative is as a father speaking to his son concerning wisdom. And that narrative is one that's somewhat easy to understand. In fact, if you go back to the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs, you see the proverb writer outlining those things about how it was that this wisdom that he is being spoken of is wisdom that he has received from his parents. But he doesn't just say it's wisdom that I've received from my dad. He said it's wisdom that I've received from my mother. And there was something about that there was a counsel of motherhood that had resulted in Solomon's wisdom. Moms, you are counselors. You are counselors. Perhaps counselors to the highest order. And the book of Proverbs has lots to say about counseling. And in fact, we read in the book of Proverbs about how it is that in the multitude of counselors there is safety. But that's probably not as great as the translation as it should be, because the context of that passage of Scripture in the book of Proverbs is one of war. And we know that we are not on the defensive in this battle that we have for the Lord, but instead we see to it that a victory has been promised. So when we see that in the multitude of counselors there is safety, perhaps a better writing would say that there is in the multitude of counselors there is victory. Moms, you provide victory. Isn't that wonderful? There is victory that is provided and enabled to us as children as a result of mothers. I want to say something first just to make sure that y'all understand me before I try to heap anything upon myself. I hate cards. I can't stand them. It's a waste of money. But my wife loves cards. Loves them. Can't get enough of them, so I'm always obligated to buy a card. So I bought a card for my wife, and my kids picked it out, and we were all looking at it, and I was writing in it this morning. And one of the things that I wrote in it this morning was that she is what keeps the home running. And she is. And man, if we were to stop for a minute and realize that, we would see that it's a woman who keeps things going. It's the woman who keeps things up and running. I could not tell you the first thing about my children when it comes to what size they wear. In fact, a couple weeks ago, somebody at work had told me about a sale that was going on in a store nearby my work. So I ran over there on my lunch break and started looking for clothes for my children. You know what I did? I FaceTimed my wife and I said, "What do I buy? Because I don't know what I buy." Now, they're my children. I see them every day. But even then, it's a mom who keeps these things running. A mother is the heart of a home. And if there are children that are raised successfully to adulthood and become profitable to the Lord's kingdom, it is a victory that's been prospered certainly at the Lord's hands, but He has used a mother to provide it. He has used a mother to provide it. That is a mother's load, is one of counseling. I never realized this. As a man, you don't naturally go to your mom for counseling. I break something. I call my dad. Dad, I broke something. Don't know how to fix it. Dad, I've done this. I'm confused about how it works. Can you help me out? I don't call my mom because she just tells me to call my dad. But I've seen it from my wife. And I've seen it from my sister. How it is that they call their mother in great need of that instruction, that counsel that they would receive from them. Of those things that they're dealing with. Now sometimes they get off the phone, they say, "You're not going to believe what my mother said." But a little while later they understand it. You see, there's counsel that is sought and provided from good biblical mothers. And there's a victory that is provided unto those that hear it and receive it. And let's look further at what the proverb writer says. And again, there's so much here. I tried to group some of this together, but Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says this: "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother." 23 and 20: "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." We see continual teaching from the wise man Solomon here in the book of Proverbs, inspired by God in his teaching. And what he is instructing us is to not abandon the teaching of our mothers. You're going to have to bear with me a little bit today. The only way that I understand womanhood is according to being a male. It's according to being a little boy that had a mom and now being a man that has a mom still but also has a wife that's a mother. And so all of my understanding of womanhood comes from observation and according to Scripture. So you're going to have to bear with me as I look at some of these things. But as I was considering what it means to forsake not thy mother, and looking at it according to what we see as the proverb writers are telling us and how it is that they have gained this wisdom according to their mother, I got to thinking about how as a man we don't follow instructions. If you're like me, we have something to put together. What do? Instructions? Toss them to the side. Where's the picture? Right? That's all we need. My neighbor the other day was making fun of me. Came out and he said, "What are you using those instructions for?" He said, "Just put it together." That's our sort of direction in life, right? I found this out the hard way. You ever seen a washer that's out of balance? This makes a racket, don't it? You get the clothes too much on one side, or even worse, you don't have the levelers just right. And all of a sudden that thing just gets to rocking. You think that there's a tornado touching down in your laundry room. Tornado touching down wherever it is that your washer's at. Abandoning your mother's wisdom, abandoning your mother's teaching, is like ignoring the instructions. It's like leaving off the levelers. Your life becomes out of balance. There are things that you think you knew. There are things that you thought that you understood. There are things that you thought you had control over. And all the while, your mom was there saying, "Listen, listen, listen," patiently, I'm sure, sometimes impatiently, but trying to encourage you and give you the direction that you are in need of, and all the while saying, "Oh God, please protect them from the mistakes that I see them making," knowing that what it is that I've instilled in them from a child is not for their harm, but it's for their blessing and for their goodness, that they might see you and understand you, and in doing so, see that these things that I have taught and instilled them are to give them a life, perhaps not that is easy, but one that is not like that out of balance washer. Now, there's something you should know about that analogy. About the time that I got old enough to wash clothes, I just threw a bunch of clothes in the washer. Put some soap in there, turn it on. That thing got to rocking. Mom came and she said, "You got to put the clothes in there evenly." I learned that. If I hadn't learned that then, even today, I'd be like, "I don't know why my washer keeps making this noise." There is something about a mother's instruction that provides us balance, that provides us a nurture that isn't one that gets off kilter. Now, mothers, I want to pause for a moment here, and I want to provide you some instruction. And that is that your instruction should be godly in nature. If your instruction fails to be godly, the instruction that you are providing is not one that we see that would be bringing blessing to your children. Too oftentimes, I think that as parents, and this applies to fathers as much as it does mothers, we want what is there to protect our children, what is there to bring them safety, and what is there to make sure that they are profitable and have all of their needs. And in doing so, we look and we see these things and we say, we must provide for them no matter how it is that the lesson will be taught, because we can get to the lesson later because this is what is needed now. And sometimes when we do that, what we are forsaking is the teachings of Scripture. And what the Scriptures teach us concerning womanhood and concerning manhood is that there needs to be an understanding of honor beneath all of this. For if there is not honor that is being reflected by children towards mothers and towards fathers, the teaching that you are giving them is not going to be accurately understood. Now, where does this idea of honor come from? Now, we know the Ten Commandments, and now in the Fifth Commandment, we see that first commandment of the second table, the first commandment that deals with man's relationship with man, that the commandment was given to honor thy father and mother, that thy days might be long upon the earth. The Ephesian writer told us that this was the first commandment given with promise, to honor thy father and thy mother. Now, the world has somehow twisted this into this idea of obedience, and that if you merely simply obey, that your obedience is honor. That is not true. God desires that we would obey Him, certainly. But His desire for obedience comes from a desire that we would have within our hearts to bring Him glory. Within our hearts to approach Him, knowing and trusting of that which He has provided and told us is to His purpose and to His glory and for our benefit. And such the same is true as we would teach and instill our children. Do you realize that what God has said in instructing children, and hear me when I say that, when God said to honor thy father and mother, He was writing to children. Children, God wrote to you when He said those things. When God wrote to honor thy father and mother, He was writing to these little ones among us. And when He said those things, He used the same terminology that He had previously used concerning His own glory. Did you hear that? We are to honor our father and mother the same way that we would honor our heavenly Father. You hear how high of a call that is? How high of a need that is to honor our father and our mother. How do we do that? Kids, you ever been like me and told to take out the trash? Come on, I'm not the only one that takes out trash here. I'm told to take out trash. How do you take out trash? If you're like me, when you're told to take out trash, a lot of times it's like this. Fine. Right? Shoulders slumping. I'll do it. There was obedience there, but there was no honor. You see the difference? There is obedience without honor. Our instruction is not to obey the Lord. Our instruction is to honor the Lord. Your being here today is an act of obedience. Your being here today with a heart that is desiring the Lord, with a heart that is desiring to hear from the Lord, desiring to praise the Lord, desiring to give Him glory, that's honor. You see the difference? Honor is an act of the heart. It is not an act of the flesh. Obedience is an act of the flesh. It's something that we do outwardly. Honor comes from within. Mothers, mother in an honorable way. Mother in a way that gets to the heart of your children. I want to speak just for a moment. I don't mean to be going off in all sorts of directions here. But we've seen this so much recently with Lila. She's 5 and she's reaching an age where she has an attitude. And man, I didn't realize how bad of an attitude that I must have had when I was a kid. Until now I see in her. And it's harder to break. It's much harder to deal with. And getting my children to obey, it hasn't been that difficult, if I'm being honest. I'm not trying to say that I'm a good dad, because I'm not. I just told you how hard I'm having a hard time with attitude. But right behavior was easy enough to produce. But right attitude is so much more difficult. And we see this in us, don't we? Don't we see this in us as adults and how it is that we treat the Lord? We can have right behavior, but is it met with the right heart?
Is it met with the right attitude towards the Lord? Is it met with the right direction towards loving one another and loving our husbands and loving our wives and doing those things as God has instructed us, that honor Him as we honor one another? God, use that same language towards each other, that we would honor and prefer one another. How is it that you demonstrate your obedience? It is not demonstrated in a mere act of service, but it is demonstrated in that your expression of your heart carries over, that it's clear that what you are doing not out of some restraint, but you are doing out of a longing desire that you have for that which you love. Whether it be the Lord, whether it be your children, whether it be your spouse, whether it be one another. We have a need to understand honor as we see this mother's load. I want you to see, we're going to continue to read a couple more Proverbs here. And as I do so, I want you to continue to see this difference in how the proverb writer differs between a father and a mother. 15 and 20 says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. He that wasteth, this is 19:26, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach. 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And all the moms said, amen. But what we see in this, we see a comparison between fatherhood and motherhood. All these teachings that the proverb writer is giving is instruction towards keeping a father's commandments, and in doing so, making a father glad. All the instruction conversely given towards mothers is not forgetting. See the difference? Keeping versus not forgetting a mother's instruction, and not despising or not bringing her shame or not forsaking what it is that she has given. You see the difference in those attitudes? I handle things a lot differently than my wife. It's been said that men deal in facts and women deal in feelings. And this is true. My children disobey. I want to know what happened, what took place, and how is that it can be rectified. Not just merely that there's punishment given, but how is there repentance? My wife, her heart grieves and she says, what's happened that our children are this way? A man says, how can I make my children different? You see the difference? Man deals with fact and woman deals with feelings. And we see it in how they react to different things. Now, I want to say this, men, listen to me. When someone makes an offense to your wife, even if it is your children, they are making an offense to you. And you are to be there to support your wife. You are to be there to provide to them the need that they have of support, not merely that they would be walked all over, and certainly not that there would be some sides that would be taken. And in fact, if there is a disagreement in parenting between you, husband, and between you, wife, settle it in private. Your children don't need to see that. This is good practical instruction that I want you to hear. The reason why is that in doing so, your children learn that they can play different sides. You did this growing up, didn't you? Wanted a friend to spend the night. You knew which parent you were going to. Which one was more likely to say yes? Don't expose them to those things. Instead, show forth what it is that you are doing, what it is that you are aiming for, and honor together in a spousal unit of what's taking place. Says, and chaseth away his mother. Children, listen to me. There is going to be reaching an age, and some of you right now are at it, and I look out and I see how you're responding to this and what you're doing and how you're acting even right now, and I know you're at it, where you think that your parents are just dumb, they're not hip with the times, and you and much rather, some of you are smiling, don't smile, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And some of you are saying that I just wish they would butt out. That they think they know it all. I want you to know something. You're right. Parents don't know it all. But they know a whole lot more than you. And you do well to listen to them. a parent who tells you they have everything figured out, they're being dishonest. But a parent that says, you know what, I don't have it all figured out yet, but I remember being your age, and I know something different than I knew then, and I'm trying to teach you about it. I'm trying to show you a way. Listen to them. Chase not away your mother. Don't push her off that you might escape her somehow. But instead, give unto her wisdom. Give unto her instruction. And heed it and listen to it. And stop for a minute and hear what she has to say. Brother Corey and I lived together when we were in college. My mom would stop by or something would happen. And she would, before she would leave, she'd always say, make good choices. Before long, Corey was digging out a dumpster or something, and he found a sign. I forget what exactly it said, but it said something about make good choices. So we posted it right above our trash can. But there was instruction that we were remembering even then. We would laugh about it, and maybe sometimes we did things that were foolish. But I want you to know that there in the back of our minds the whole time was make good choices. Why? Because there was wisdom and there was instruction that was given by a godly mother that was desiring that her children would hear. Even though it was that they were a little further off than they were before, that they wouldn't chase her away, but instead receive that instruction. Let's keep going. I want to hurry because I want to get to a closing point here in just a moment. Chapter 20, verse 20, he says, whoso curseth his father or mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. 28, 24, whoso robbeth his father or his mother and says it is not a transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. The eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. Did you hear that language? The proverb writer was not making any bones about it. That failure in honoring your parents, failure in recognizing the honor of your mother will be rewarded in punishment. It will be rewarded in chastisement. How so? The language that he uses is extreme, but he says that his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness, the same as the companion of a destroyer, and that the young eagles would eat out his eyes. Now that's strong language. Now I want you to consider and remember what I spoke to you about at the start of this message today. That the proverb writer is writing those things of wisdom that they have observed throughout their lives. What they have observed are these things that are generally true. When we are taught to honor our father and our mother, that our days might be long upon the earth, that is not that there's some measurement that suddenly we would look and say, well, that person that just turned 114 must have really honored their father and mother. That person that died at a young age must have not honored their father and mother at all. That's not how that works. But what is being taught to us is this general truth of wisdom that generally when we look to that life which is upholding and honoring of the Lord, upholding and honoring of His instruction, upholding and honoring of mothers, and upholding and honoring of fathers, that life generally when we get to the end of it all and we look at it, it is one that has been profitable and blessed and progressing in the Lord's kingdom and growing in grace and growing in knowledge of the truth. It's a truism that children that are brought up underneath the sound discipline and instruction and admonishment of the Lord do those things that are godly more so than they do those things that are ungodly. Now you are looking and thinking right now about all those examples that don't harmonize with what I just said. And you're saying, but I know that brother and sister did their very best. And I want to remind you that what I said was a general truth and not a promise. Proverbs are not promises, but they are general truths of wisdom that we should understand and that we should give heedance to as we do our part as fathers and as mothers. And children, you should know that each time you do those things that are dishonoring of your mother. Each time you're doing those things that are disrespectful and disobedient, each time you do those things with a bad attitude, each time you talk back to your mom, each time you do those things that are despicable before them, each time you do those things where you blow them off and otherwise you just have a disrespectful attitude towards them, I want you to know that the pattern of behavior that you are displaying is one that generally leads to an unhappy life. It leads to an unhappy life. Consider that, children. You want happiness in your life? Honor your father and your mother. Not just today, not just because it's Mother's Day, but honor them. In the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, the Ephesians writer gives three reasons why you should honor your father and your mother. The first is that it's done in the Lord. The second is because it's right. It's right. If you want reason to honor your father and mother, do it because it's right. I'm not here to boast of your parents. For all I know that the world's best parents, or for all I know that the world's worst parents, it makes no difference. Scripture gives the instruction to honor your father and your mother in the Lord, for this is right. I want to continue quickly. Two last points that I want to make. In the 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs, verse 11, this is the writer of Gur. So we've seen the writings of Solomon. We saw the writings earlier of Lemuel. This is the writings of a Gur. So this third author of the book of Proverbs. And in the 11th verse through the 14th verse, I believe it is, he is giving out instructions or giving out categories of sinners. He's giving out generations as he classifies them as those that have some sinful heart. Listen to the very first one that Gur gives. He says, "There is a generation that curseth their father and does not bless their mother." You're not blessing your mother. You're not honoring your mother. You're not obeying your mom and your dad and giving them honor that they are due is sinful, and you need to repent. Not a single amen. You're not honoring your father and your mother is sinful, and you need to repent. You need to repent. That doesn't have an age limit. So moms and dads are thinking you're off the hook. If you're not honoring your father and your mother in adulthood, it's sinful, and you need to repent. All right, I laid out a lot of bad things. I want to lay out some good. Proverbs chapter 23, beginning at verse 22. I read this verse earlier, but I want to read down to verse 25. It says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him." Listen to verse 25. "Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." You want to honor your father and your mother, don't bring your mom roses on Mother's Day and say that I've honored her. Don't make them breakfast in bed and take them out to brunch here in a little while and think that's honor. They will rejoice when they see your life. They will rejoice when they see of what it is that you are doing and your righteousness, not your own, but the Lord's. And they will see that what's taking place in you is reason for joy. Is reason for joy. There's something about flowers. They give joy for a very short moment. A week or two later, they start to smell bad and they're putrid. Gifts, they tarnish. Even the finest jewelry will tarnish. But the joy that a godly mother longs for is to see her children living righteously before the Lord. That's the joy that a mother desires. That's the joy that wishes them a happy Mother's Day. That's a joy that reflects to them honor that they deserve. Now, as I've talked about bearing a mother's load, you probably have thought about the term mother load. You ever use that terminology? Say, "We've hit the mother load." You know what that means? In the 1500s, they discovered a silver vein down in Mexico. A silver vein, a 6-mile, 7-mile long vein of silver that stretched, it was rich, and they could mine it for silver. And those first men that discovered this vein of silver, the first men that discovered where they could come and mine this rich and precious material, they looked and they called it, if I can get the name right, the Vita Madre, the mother vein. We say it now, mother lode, and we talk about having something that is in immense quantities. You say, I hit the mother lode. You found something that is a lot. You say, I went to a yard sale and I hit the mother lode. You go somewhere and you say, I found the mother lode. You're looking at, I found something that is a benefit of richness, of goodness. Y'all, a mother's lode, it's rich. It's stressful and it's trying and it makes you weary. I can't tell you how many days of the week I'm at work and around about middle of the afternoon I get a text from my wife and it just says, I'm done. And I know what that means. It means for me to clear my plans that evening. Because when she says I'm done, it means I'm not. But it means that she's weary from it. It's enduring and it's causing her weight. It's a heaviness upon her. It's a burden. But it's a rich burden. For it's the same richness, it's the same burden that Lemuel carried when it was that he penned the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs back where we began. And I want you to know, women, continue in that burden. Continue in what it is that you are doing. Don't be weary in your well-doing. Don't be weary in what it is that you are doing. Don't be weary when it's another sleepless night. Don't be weary when it's another diaper that you have to change. Don't be weary as your teens get older and they're continually going in their room and slamming the door in your face. Open it. Open it. And instruct them and teach them and keep going and endure and keep lasting and see to it that all the while, what you are desiring in your children is that they would reflect godliness. That they would reflect godliness. I want you to know something. I hit the mother lode with my mother. I hit the mother lode with my wife. God has blessed me. I am immensely blessed. I've been the mother lode of the godly moms of this church and the godly lady figures of this church. I found some good things in this place and the motherly advice that I see in each of you. Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep going. For in you there is miles, miles of precious metal. There is miles of richness. There's miles within you. Happy Mother's Day, mothers. Keep going. Keep going. For the rest of us, let's bear these mother's loads. Thank you for listening to me. May God bless you.